This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Kravitsky.
We are the Diehards, right here at SportsMap Radio Network. No Anthony Pepe, no Bobby Kravitsky, it's Patrick Gilroy. I do have my own open back there. It's there for Monday nights. We do our own thing. We've been doing it for a while. SportsMap Radio Network, we've got a fun show for you guys coming up here on the program, coming up in about 15 minutes here. Hour number one, Basketball Insider, sports anchor, covers the Miami Heat on a day-in and day-out basis over there in Miami from WPLG Local 10. We'll have Clay Ferrero join us coming up in about 15 minutes. And I'm so excited to talk to Clay because all the people that listen to the Diehards, and whether it's listening to Pepe for the last 20 years or have listened to me fill in with Pepe or since I took over the Monday nights here, everybody knows that the Diehards are a New England-based program. There's no hiding it. It's in the open. We try to appeal to the national audience as best we can, but the reality is we're from Boston, we're from New England, and, you know, we've been the recipients of a tremendous amount of success over the last 20 years, and I know the country laughs at us now, and I don't blame you for the lack of success that's happening, especially when it comes to the football program here in New England. And it's all good. I get it. But I'm so excited to talk to Clay about what I think is a very cool storyline that hasn't been bantied about yet, hasn't been talked about yet. And that is, are the Patriots and are the New England fans starting to face, you know, their football mortality when it comes to the longevity of Bill Belichick? This guy, the coach, the GM, the football god, that must be Charles. He must be here. He must be in the house. There he is. The second I heard that drop, I knew Charles was here. But we'll get Clay on the program in about 10 minutes here, coming up about 8:15 on the program. And you know, he's covered the Heat for the last 10, 12 years. And I'm wondering if there is a similarity in the conversation that's taking place across the landscape of the NFL and specifically here in New England when it comes to Belichick and what the conversation is surrounding the Miami Heat and the godfather of the NBA in Pat Riley. Look, Pat has been no doubt, you want to start a team today. He's the guy that you want to assemble that team. He is probably the most legendary front office name that you could think of in the last 20 years, and that doesn't even include his coaching resume. Yeah, this guy has had this unique ability to appeal to and connect with young African Americans, and he's an old white dude, and I give him so much credit for that because that is not an easy thing to do. But these guys look at him. And whether it's a Tyler Hero or a Jimmy Butler or somebody in between, Bam Adebayo, he's got the ability to connect with them. And that's what's made him such a special general manager, president of basketball operations over the last 25 years, going back to his days coaching and running the Knicks all the way through the success that he's had in Miami, taking them from essentially an expansion team to where they are right now. So I'm excited to talk to Clay coming up in the next segment here on the program. Are there conversations taking place in Miami right now about fans being unhappy with what took place this offseason with the Miami Heat? It was the ultimate screw-up, I think. And Pat Riley's got to take some blame here, especially if the Heat don't succeed this year. Now, if the Heat are able to come back and somehow survive this season and be the same team they've been the last couple of years and compete for an NBA championship, then this conversation goes out the window. But let's face it, we spent a lot of Mondays here across the network talking about, is Dame Lillard, is this going to be the week that he signs, that he gets traded to the Heat? This was a done deal. This was not a question. This was not a what if. This thing was done, according to every NBA expert and insider that we talked to, that ESPN talked to, that, you know, Stephen A. Smith talked to, John Hollinger talked to, you name the NBA insider. They all said it was a done deal. Just a matter of time. It didn't happen. And not only did it not happen, it blew up so badly in the Heat's faces that their two primary opponents, the two teams that were most likely to surpass them and compete in the NBA Finals, in the 2024 NBA Finals in the Eastern Conference and compete for a championship, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, both got better at the expense of the Heat because of their lack of an ability to close this deal. All right, think about that for a minute. Not only did the Heat not get their guy, all right, not only did they not get the guy that they set out to go get months and months ago in Dame Lillard, a guy that was gift-wrapped. Dame said, I'm only going to Miami. Figure it out, guys. It was literally gift-wrapped and given to Pat Riley. Probably the easiest acquisition that he's had the ability to get throughout the course of his NBA tenure. And he doesn't get it done. And not only does he not get it done, the Milwaukee Bucks get it done. They get their guy. But as the cost to Milwaukee is they've got to give up their all-star guard, the guy that I think is a big part of the heart and soul of their team, the team that won the championship a couple of years ago. They don't win it without this guy. He was an all-star last year, but he's not on the same timetable, trajectory of talent as the recipients of his talent in the Portland Trailblazers, so they figure out a way to get him to Boston. So now the Celtics have gotten better after what I think is a stellar offseason by Brad Stevens and the leadership here in Boston already. They go out at the last minute, a day before their first training camp practice, and they acquire Jrue Holiday. And now the Celtics have got Jrue Holiday, and the Milwaukee Bucks have got the Heat's guy in Dame Lillard. And I'm wondering how Heat fans are feeling today, because they're a confident bunch. Let me tell you, Heat Nation, Heat Culture, Heat on Twitter. I mean, this is a confident bunch of fans. And I don't think they're going to be shook just yet. But I also don't think they fully understand the gravity of the mistake that was made this offseason by allowing the Celtics and by allowing the Milwaukee Bucks to each acquire all-star caliber backcourt talent that is ready and primed and motivated to win championships right now because of their age, their stature in the NBA, and where they are in their careers. We're not talking about guys in Dame Lillard and guys in Jrue Holiday that are 28 years old, that still want to do it for themselves and are interested in scoring 25, 30 points a night and getting theirs. That's not where these guys' mindsets are at this point in their careers. And it's almost the perfect storm, and it sets up such a great potential Eastern Conference final matchup between the Celtics and the Bucks, which would leave the Heat on the outside looking in. And I don't think any Miami Heat fan thought that was going to be the storyline as we sit here on the precipice of a new NBA season. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. We'll be with you guys here on a Monday night, Monday, October 16th in the year 2023 until 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Got Clay Ferraro coming up shortly here on the program. Local 10 WPLG News in Miami. Find him on Twitter at Clay WPLG. Coming up in hour number two, we'll have an extended conversation with our guy Dan Greenberg. Find his stuff on Barstool Sports. We'll talk to him from about 9:15 to 9:40, 9:45. Again, previewing what I think is going to be a super exciting NBA season. The season opens up for real 1 week from tomorrow, and these preseason games have been exciting. Just being back out on the court has been exciting, and you can see that there's a half a dozen teams that have got a legitimate chance to do something special this season. The talent is there, the desire is there, and the drive is there. Now it's all about health for so many of these teams. We'll talk to Clay. We'll talk to Dan about all that coming up here in the program. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Charles behind the glass. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Now back to your host, Patrick Gilroy.
We are the Diehards. It is a Sports Map Radio Network. It's Patrick Gilroy hanging out with you guys. We'll make our way together until 10 o'clock Eastern time here on a Monday night. We got 8 days to go, 8 nights to go until opening night in the NBA coming your way next Tuesday. I can't wait. It's been that type of offseason. There's been movement around the league. There's been a shift of talent in some places, and in other places, it's more of the same. And there's a level of excitement, I think, going in to this NBA season that's palpable, at least here in New England. And in talking to my colleagues and friends around the country, there's a certain level of excitement, I think, that's built up just around this league right now. And I cannot wait to talk about it. We'll go NBA heavy here on the program tonight. Coming up on the program right now, our guy from Miami covers the Miami Heat. You guys know him from WPLG Local 10 ABC News. Find him on Twitter at Clay WPLG. Our guy Clay Ferrero, he joins us here on the program. Clay, I'm happy to talk to you. Okay, you got to know that. But we've talked to you three times throughout the offseason. And not just you. We've talked to so many NBA insiders and experts, and everybody thought the Dame deal was a done deal. How surprised were you when it didn't work out the way that everybody thought it was going to work out?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I think everybody was shocked here. And yet I think we all underestimated how personal this had become between Joe Cronin and Damian Lillard and perhaps Lillard's agent, if you, you know, kind of read some of the reports that had come out since then. And so, you know, I think, and this is the thing I will say about the Miami Heat organization, is they don't really let stuff out. And so what I think we found out over the course of, the couple of weeks since this has finally happened is, I think there was a certain point where they even realized this thing wasn't going to happen. Maybe even before the rest of us in media had any clue that it was going to happen. And so I don't know that they were as shocked or blindsided by it. I think the rest of us, as you know, you kind of go back and you do the postmortem of all of this. The Miami only thing that came out, I think that ended up backfiring a bit, and because things became so intensely personal that it almost seemed like it was going to be a win for Portland as long as they sent him anywhere other than Miami. And look, I mean, I can see all sides. I personally think there's a little bit of an overestimation of what Portland ended up ultimately getting in the deal. I think Drew Holiday is a heck of a player, and I think he's far more valuable to Boston than he would have been in Portland. I think Boston doing what they did to get him as part of that deal is just huge moving forward.
So Clay, do you think there was any inkling in Pat Riley's mind? Because there's been so much talk around here, and hopefully we have time to get to it, but so much talk in New England, especially this year, but over the last 24, 36 months, that Bill Belichick has lost it. And there's no doubt that he's, you know, the greatest coach or one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, first ballot Hall of Famer, yada, 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 but he's lost it. He's lost the fastball, doesn't see two steps ahead the way that he used to. And at least locally here, you know, we've been waiting for the demise of Pat Riley for 30 years here in New England. So there's been, okay, is Pat Riley done? If we're going to say Belichick is done, does that mean that we can at least say that Pat Riley is done as well? Do you think there was any inkling in the Heat's front office that, okay, we're not going to get Dame, But not only is Dame going to go to, you know, one of our premier competitors in our conference, but we're also going to strengthen the next premier competitor in the Celtics. Do you think there was any idea that Dame would go to Milwaukee and thus in turn the Celtics and the Bucks would both get better 24 hours before training camp opened?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. I did. I immediately did. You know, you and I are both good friends with Eric Yutzi, our morning anchor, who's a big Celtics fan. And yeah. I immediately sent him a text. I said, after the Dame deal went through, I said, Drew's going to end up in Boston. It just makes way too much sense. And because the need was there, I felt like when you looked back at what they were going to miss by losing Smart on the floor, that Drew Holiday just, man, he fits it so perfectly, and yet the combustible nature of Smart, if part of the reason for the deal was to kind of move away from that when they traded Smart, Holiday is like the perfect fit in the locker room too. He brings that dog mentality, and then you know, in addition to being such a good player on the floor and a good teammate. So to go back to your original question, I don't know if Riley looked at it like that was what was going to happen. I know I sure did. I think the thing with Riley, if you want to say anything relative to things that he has done, I guess, poorly over the last few years or decade or so, it's asset management and kind of being behind the curve as far as what other teams value. And I you know, you go back, I think, to you know, some of the trades that they made, some of the contracts that they gave, where, like, right when they started to give contracts that they felt would make nice puzzle pieces in potential deals for stars, well, then nobody cared about that anymore. All they wanted was draft capital. Didn't matter what year the draft capital was in. You could trade a 2075 first round ticket. No, that's not legal. But, like, everybody's like, ah, what? Everybody wanted to do the Sam Presti thing, where everybody wanted first round draft picks for everything. And so then they finally got to the point this offseason where they had the draft picks to trade, and they really could have unlocked a couple more if Portland had wanted to play ball. But the problem was Portland wanted nothing to do with Tyler Hero. For whatever reason, I think that was part of this thing becoming personal. My favorite part of this whole thing, by the way, was that we don't want Tyler Hero. We don't want anything. Well, then right when they traded for Drew Holiday, they said, oh no, we don't want him either, we're going to trade him too. So, like, the very thing, you know what I mean? So it's like, I will say, though, I think if you're going to say one thing for Riley, it's that asset management has been a bit of an issue. And yet, as far as him, like, losing it, I think we have to see what happens on the floor, right? Like, I think you can say what you want as far as, like, deals that haven't worked until they go out there with this core and really massively underperform in the playoffs. I think it's going to be hard to say that he's completely done.
We're the Diehards. It is the Sports Map Radio Network. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me on the phone right now from WPLG Local 10 ABC News in Miami, the Heat insider, Clay Ferrero. And Clay, I got to tell you this. I don't know if there's any hurt feelings in that Heat locker room, but I got to watching what I've seen from this Heat team, 2-1 in the exhibition season, and it's hard to judge a team based on exhibition results, but Jimmy Butler looks like Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo looks very good, but the guy that I think makes all the difference in the world is Tyler Hero. He had an up and down year last year. He was not the guy that the Heat really thought he was going to be most of the year. Showed moments, showed flashes, but what I saw from him last night, nationally televised game, this is a guy that can truly be a second or third option on a team competing to at least win the Eastern Conference. If that's the guy that we saw last night, then I think he's right there with, you know, the acquisition of the Celtics and the acquisition of the Milwaukee Bucks. They got all the attention. Maybe Miami had their guy all along. He just had to be healthy and confident in the right situation.
Well, and I can tell you this. I can promise you they value Hero a lot more than I think what the perception is. And what they've told him, and I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but my understanding is what they've told him is, look, we included your name in talks for two players, Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard. Like, I think you can kind of understand that, right? And which you can, and as much promise at times as Tyler Herro has shown, I think even he would admit he's not like as accomplished as Kevin Durant or Damian Lillard. You can understand that. And I had a chance to talk with Herro a little bit at Media Day. And what he said, I just thought he kept it in perspective very well. He said, look, with all due respect to the Heat organization, and I love Miami. I love it here. I want to stay here. I love the fans. I love everything about it. But when I was a kid, I dreamed of playing in the NBA. I didn't dream of playing for the Miami Heat. And yes, it's a business. And what I think he's kind of finally come around to, and not finally, because his name has been out there a bunch, and I think he's handled it well from the beginning. I think he's seeing, hey, you know what? Wherever I go, I'm going to be making millions and millions of dollars. I'm going to be able to play the game that I love, and I'm going to control what I can control. Now, I'll say this. I don't know that I would have that level of maturity that he's shown, and I don't know that a lot of us would, but I think it's been one of those things where, because he's gone through it quite a bit, there's been a bit of a callus, and not in a bad way, where I just think there's a matter of where, you know, a lot of these guys will say, hey, it's not personal, it's business, but they don't mean it. I think he means it, and so I think it's been cool to see how he's evolved there.
Clay, man, I appreciate your time. We'll catch up as the season rolls along. I'm excited to see it, and maybe we'll see you guys in the conference finals again. His name is Clay Ferrero. Find his stuff, WPLG in Miami. Find him on Twitter, at ClayWPLG. Big thank you to Clay Ferrero. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Die Hards Sports Map Radio Network.
You're locked in with the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Now back to your host, Patrick Gilroy.
It is the Diehards right here, Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy hanging out with you guys until 10 o'clock Eastern time, as we do each and every Monday night here across the Sports Map Radio Network. Big thank you goes out to my guy, Clay Ferrero. Find him on Twitter at ClayWPLG. He's your Heat insider, local 10 news in Miami. Been doing that for 12 years, covering the Heat for 12 years. And I love how sneaky, cocky Clay is when he's like, yeah, I just had a conversation with Tyler Herro the other day. Yeah, Jimmy Butler, he came to my kid's barbecue that we just had. Like, this guy is connected. And when he talks Heat basketball, he knows it. And that's why we have him here on the program. He'll be a big contributor to the program as we make our way through this new NBA season. And I'll say this. I get his perspective and where he's coming from when he defends Pat Riley and he defends the Heat. Here's the thing. If the Heat represent the Eastern Conference in the finals this year, that means things went terribly wrong in Boston and in Milwaukee. Period. End of story. The Celtics or the Bucks had a massive failure, whether it's due to injury, internal issues, not acquiring the right players, so the players didn't mesh. If this does not work out where the Celtics are meeting the Bucks in the conference finals and it doesn't go seven games, something's gone horribly wrong here. Because when you look at the level of talent that you have in Boston and the level of talent that you have in Milwaukee, Miami's a talented team. I mean, we have all learned, if you're an NBA fan, we have all learned the hard way in recent years never to minimize the contributions or the stature, the stardom of Jimmy Butler. Like, this guy is truly one of the types of players that we used to love here in Boston where, yeah, you may have a good regular season, but Jimmy Butler is one of the rare stars that no matter what his regular season looks like, he turns it on in the playoffs, and he backs it up. He makes big shots look easy on a night-in and night-out basis. The problem is, he only does it in April, May, and occasionally June, and you know, we don't have enough time on this program. We cram in 2 hours. At the end of every one of these shows, I say to myself, geez, I need 4 hours to do this. And the reality is, that's what it takes to have these conversations. I think the Heat were a joke last year. I do. And they beat the Celtics in the conference finals, okay? Yes, they blew a 3-0 lead in the conference finals, and the Celtics came back, and they teased us, and, you know, Derek White became a folk hero here in Boston, and all of that. This is not sour grapes. I think what the Heat did last year was an insult to the NBA. I think it is exactly why Adam Silver has built this league around mediocrity and parity, and now the joke that is the in-season tournament. It is because of teams like the Miami Heat, where they legit, they go into the regular season saying, you know, we're cool winning 38 games, 39 games. Sure. Make a play-in team? Why not? They don't care about the regular season, which I get the mentality behind it, especially when you rely on guys like Jimmy Butler, who's at a bit of an advanced age and is, you know, early 30s, 33, 34 years old, and Bam Adebayo, who has had his fair share of injuries and needs. He relies on his athleticism to be dominant on the basketball court. I understand. But here's the problem with that. Up until the last week of the regular season, the Heat were barely a playoff team. There was questions of whether they were even going to be a play-in team. And this is a problem that I want to see how it plays out this year in the NBA. And I don't know if the play-in tournament is going to solve this problem or not. But you got teams like the Heat in the Eastern Conference and the Lakers in the Western Conference. And while they both got there for different reasons, you know, it was essentially the same story, where the question was still being asked into early April. Will they or won't they be a playoff team? Will they or won't they be a play-in team? Will they or won't they be a lottery team? And you would think that if you got two teams that right now are picked in the top five or six, depending on the network that you look at, depending on the articles that you read, the TV stations that you watch, the websites that you that you go to on a day in and day out basis, you've got the same four, five, six teams favorites to represent the Eastern and Western Conference in the NBA Finals, and 99% of them have got the Heat on that list, and they've got the Lakers on that list, and both of those teams took off more than half of the regular season last year, and were unapologetic about it. And that's the dichotomy. That's the question. And that's really the struggle that I have now as a modern-day NBA fan. So, look, I don't want to sit here and spill my guts or be a dreamer, right? But here's the reality. I am one of more than 50% of people in this country with multiple children that has been divorced. That's the reality. All right. So more than half of us. And last time I checked, Pepe said we were up over 100 stations from coast to coast. So I don't care where you are. I don't care what your socioeconomic status is. More than 50% of us have children and are divorced. Now, to some extent, I got it bad, okay? My ex-wife didn't work, and she didn't work for a long time, like more than a decade, and I did all right. So I got screwed, and I got to pay out $40,000 a year, $21,000 in child support, $19,000 in alimony, and I got to do that for 7 years. I'm 3.5 years in, and it feels like I've been doing it for a lifetime, but it's okay. I don't mind. It is what it is. I pay it. Here's the point of the matter. If more than 50% of us are in some sort of this situation, and while the numbers may be larger, they may be smaller, the percentages are roughly the same. Meaning, if I make what I make and I pay out what I pay out, if you make more than I do, you'll pay out a larger dollar number, that's for sure, but it'll be roughly the same percentage. Same thing if you make less than I do. Okay, so we're all in the same boat when it comes to the percentage of money that is given away. By the way, we give it away post-tax, meaning we pay the tax on it and they get it tax-free. Not bitter. I am not bitter. So that allows us a limited amount of money as sports fans to take those children that we love, that we would move mountains for, that we would do anything for, to the games that we love, to the games that helped make us who we are, to the games that breed that sort of father-child, father-son, father-daughter relationship and those memories, those foundational memories that matter to all of us. Okay, so in my mid-40s, and my father being gone now for 4 or 5 years, it's those foundational memories that carry him through, that carry his spirit around with me, that make it feel like my dad is still alive, that when I walk into the new garden, despite the fact that we have fewer memories in the new garden than we did in the old garden, it doesn't matter because all of the memories come flooding back, and that's how dad is still alive, and I know I am not alone feeling this way. But here's the thing. My dad could take me to a game in the 80s and in the 90s in the old building for $8 a ticket. And sure, maybe those seats had a pole. So if you look to the right, all you saw was a pole, all right? But if you look to the left, you got damn good seats. And if you look up, there was a TV monitor there. So instead of looking left to right, you looked left to up, left to up. And you got to watch the whole game. But it didn't matter because you're there with Dad. And you're eating hot dogs, and he's sneaking a beer. And don't tell your mom about the little, the nips that he puts in his pocket. Like, don't tell mom. Like, those are the memories that matter, right? And that's what sports does. And you only attend those games because, in our case, we wanted to see the Boston Celtics. We wanted to see the Red Sox. We wanted to see teams that were competing. They didn't have to compete for championships every year, but they had to compete, especially the Celtics, 41 times a year on the home floor. And, yeah, we went and we saw teams that had a chance to win championships late in Larry Bird's tenure. When I say late, I mean like 1990, I was 10 years old. So we saw our fair share of games in 1990, 91, 92. I was lucky enough to see Bird play live a dozen times, Kevin McHale play live a dozen times. But they were past their peak, past their prime. If they did have the opportunity to compete for a championship, everything would have had to fall into place perfectly because they were past their prime. But at least my dad knew, when he invested that money, when he said, "No, I'm taking Patrick to the game tonight," and yeah, I know we don't have the $100 it's going to cost, $2 $10 seats, $30 for hot dogs, $20 for beers, $25 to park. At least we know we're going to watch these teams compete and give their best effort. In this NBA that we've got today, we know these teams are taking off 50% of the games before the games even start, and that makes me wonder where I'm spending my money. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We're the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Now back to your host, Patrick Gilroy.
We are the Diehards. It is the Sports Map Radio Network. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We'll make our way together until 10 o'clock Eastern time here on Monday night, like we do each and every Monday here across the network, Monday, October 16th, 2023. And just because it's news to you, Charles, we will get to the Jeff Van Gundy joining the Celtics staff coming up in the first segment of our number two. It's a big deal.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
It's a big deal. Look, I get it. He's not on the coaching staff. He's not. He's a special consultant, but he's a special consultant to the Celtics in all aspects of basketball operations. So if you've been privy enough to and had enough luck to be able to watch him at practice for the last 5 days since he's been hired, he's been there on the practice floor working with Joe Mazzulla and Sam Cassell and the rest of the coaching staff, working with players, but he's going to be involved in decision-making on and off the floor. We'll get into it all coming up in hour number two. It's a big deal, and it applies just the right amount of pressure to young coach Joe Mazzulla, where last year Joe had a tremendous amount of rope. He could do no wrong, because he was put into an unfair situation because of the sins of Ime Udoka. That close to a new NBA season, the Celtics had no choice. They went with Jason Tatum's guy and Joe Mazzulla, a guy who, oh, by the way, wasn't even on the bench. He was behind the bench the year before when the Celtics went to the finals, and he gets elevated to head coach. So not only did the Celtics drastically improve the talent level on the floor, they also drastically improved the talent level of their coaching staff and of their front office. And the latest person to sort of join that party is future NBA Hall of Famer, a guy that's been around this league for a long time, whether it's as a coach, front office guy, lead man on the ABC ESPN broadcast, Jeff Van Gundy. I love the fact that he's here in Boston. We'll talk about all that coming up in hour number two of the program. But I did want to get to this before we wrap up hour number one. People that listen to the show know that I am passionate about my teams. But if you think I'm passionate about the teams that I cover and that I root for, it's nothing compared to the youth teams that I'm involved in here in my town. And we've had conversations at length on this program about youth sports and concussions, concussion protocol, whether kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old should be playing tackle football. We've done all those conversations. I can't break that down in 9 or 10 minutes. It's impossible. My son is 12 years old. He'll be 13 in November. He's 5'10", 180 pounds. Like, he and I share clothes. He's got a 12.5-foot sneaker. I've got a 12. When he surpassed me in shoe size, he laughed his ass off. All right, he's a big boy, but he's still 12, so he still has his moments of, like, being a 12-year-old boy. But he also plays on the defensive line. He's a nose tackle, and he's dominant, and he's scary. And because of injuries and other situations that have come up, now he's playing 90% of the game. He's playing 100% of the defensive snaps, and he's playing 70%, 80% of the offensive snaps on the offensive line. And I couldn't be prouder of his accomplishments. But it's hard this year. We live in a town where youth sports matters. It does. And I applaud the student athletes for their dedication, because they've got to play. Well, I'm telling you, these are long, long weeks, long hours. They practice 3 days a week, multiple hours at a time in full pads. They've got a guy on the coaching that their head coach was a former collegiate coach who now gives his time to these young kids, and he pushes them. This guy pushes each and every one of these kids. And most importantly, whether it's the best kid on the team, the talented quarterback that may have a chance to eventually play collegiately, or the goofy fat kid playing on the line, he develops the talent that each one of these kids can bring to the field. And he does it through a unique combination of getting the best out of them, giving them self-confidence, and making them believe in themselves. So no matter where you rank as far as talent personnel-wise, each and every one of these kids has got a role. And the beautiful part about that is once everybody's got a carved-out, defined role, as long as you attack that role with the same amount of passion and excellence and desire to be great as the most talented player on your team, it eliminates the bullying. It eliminates the kids that are more talented making fun of the less talented kids. And that's the brilliance and the beauty of the operation that we've carved out here over the last couple of years under Coach Fitz here in Wyndham. It's been a beautiful thing to watch. And I'm so passionate about what he's brought to our program, our town, and to these kids. We got a problem in youth sports, and it's got nothing to do with the coaches and the parents and the volunteers that give their time for free. They give of their time for free to better all of our children. But there's a handful of parents, and since this has come up here, I have put it out there nationally on a couple of programs that I've had the pleasure of being a guest on. I did a national poll last week on another network, and apparently this is a much larger problem than what I thought it was when this started to rear its head here about a month ago. Here's the thing, parents, and I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me clearly. I don't give a damn how talented you think your kid is if he's playing youth sports. We're not even in high school yet. I don't care if he's the best player on the team. I don't care if high school coaches have come knocking on your door. There is a less than 0.00001% chance that they're ever going to get paid money to play that sport later on in life. You guys need to back the F off. You do. We have got parents in this program, people that are reasonable, sane, normal, loving parents that are legitimately hiring lawyers and suing other parents in the organization because little Johnny bullied little Jimmy. And I can't take it anymore. I am there for every game, and we are there for two games every week, okay? Because it's all one team. So the JV and the varsity is all one team, meaning the varsity plays first. JV kids stand there in their full uniform and pads just in case they get called into the game, and they are expected to look and act and behave like the varsity kids, and vice versa. Varsity kids just got through playing a grueling, grueling game, and they're expected to give the same respect back to the younger kids and stand there in their full pads on the sidelines. Two games, back-to-back, every week. I'm talking 6 hours, and it's hard work for these kids, and it's hard work for the parents. But you parents need to back off, you do, because when you're coming after these kids, or you're coming after the kids' parents who are coaching, who are trying to help organize team events because you don't like their approach, that's fine. We're all human beings. Why don't we just be reasonable people and talk to the other parent, talk to the other party? Why do we have to go? We've had two kids, two hard-working, dedicated kids who are multi-year participants in the program, who are no longer with us here. And I thought that was unique to our town. And unfortunately, this is the norm across the country. And it's not a football thing. And it's not a basketball thing. It's not a soccer thing. It's not a cheerleading thing. Apparently, this is the norm in youth sports across our country. And that is a problem. Yeah, I played youth sports. I played high school sports. I played D2 basketball in college. Big flipping deal. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, parents. Our days are well beyond us. So stop trying to live your dream through your kids because you're doing it at the expense of other kids. And that isn't fair. These kids put in the work. They put in the time. They put in the effort. And you sit up top of the hill and judge and threaten and you bully. We teach our kids not to bully. Bullying gets them detention, gets them suspended, even gets them expelled. Bullying puts our kids in a position where they may not be worthy of attending the same public schools as the rest of their friends, right? They might have to do something online. They might have to go to night school. They may have to get a GED if they bully enough. But if they learned it from mom and dad, can you really blame them? I'm just saying it's youth sports. Can we just take a deep breath? Youth sports. Sit back, volunteer your time, enjoy your kids, and move on. The glory days are well beyond us. Dude, we're all old, fat, and white hair. Hour number one down. Hour number two, Dan Greenberg. He joins us next year, Sports Map Radio Network.